May 4th, 2019 session of TeamSpeak for HPSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week I did a little bit of work helping some of the Thetis and PowerSDR people. They needed a driver. George provided it. There was some concern about where to put it. It is now in its place on GitHub, and I have links on the open HPSDR to where it's stored. So that should make that available. That was something that got lost in the transfer of the SVN and hadn't been moved over. So that got done. Otherwise, that's about it for me. We're getting at the end of the semester, so I'm busy with grading and final assignments and defenses. So, next on the list, we have Dave, KD0EAG. Go ahead, Dave.
Hello. I hope this is working.
Yes, it's working just fine.
Okay. As always, at the last moment, everything goes wrong, and my Wi-Fi router died. I'm just working on a lot of little things, playing with some of those nano SDRs and things, and or nano NVIDIA nanos, and otherwise just trying to keep track of everything everyone else is doing, get up to date.
So I've noticed that the traffic on the listservs have come up in the last week, so it sounds like people are getting interested. I don't know if that's time of year or what. Next on the list, we have Greg, ZL3IX, shown as Mike muted. And then we have Mike, AAAK, shown as recording and Mike muted. And we thank Mike for posting the recordings to tsarchive.openhpsdr.org. Next on the list is Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening all. This week I've been working on the NN10E code, and I've done a release. I think it's version 10.3, so that's up on GitHub now. And the new RBF file, the new FPGA file is there together with the project file. I've added some of the fixes that Rick put onto the Orion 2 board and tested it with the latest version of Thetis, and it seems to work okay. And I've just had one report this morning that someone's tested the board and it's running okay, which is great news. The board, the FPGA is very, very full. It's 99.3, I think, well, 0.4% full, so adding new features is going to be very problematic, as well as how long the compile times are. But nevertheless, it does seem to work okay. So if you're a 10E or a 100B user and want to try Protocol 2 and the latest Thetis, then it's there for the taking. And I see there was a new release of Thetis as well available this week, so quite a lot of new releases. Very interested, Dave, the work you're doing on single board computers. I've been following up some of those other documents as well, and some of the things that are coming out. There's some very interesting new stuff coming out, which is that's very interesting. Not sure what we'll be working on next week, but I'm sure there'll be something turning up in the meantime. That's the news from down under. Back to you, Dave.
Fine business, Phil. And next on the list, we have Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, David. Just sort of listening in. The work stuff is keeping me real busy, so I don't even know how to spell radio anymore, but still interested. Saw the traffic on the list, and I guess there's a video out there about the Nano I should go watch and see. So see if we can find some time for that over the weekend. Back to you, Dave.
Fine business. And before you buy one, listen to some of Dave's advice and decide whether the extra parts they'll add will be worth it to you or not. And next on the list, we have Bob, E3JKM, shown as recording and away. And that brings us to the end of the list, so we're open for general discussion.
I have to defend myself here. I am desperately trying to avoid buying any more dust collectors. So, but, sort of, unless I'm going to have time to work on it, I'm not buying it. At least I'm trying to hold that line. I've failed on this line in the past, but we'll see.
Well, it turns out, I think the Nano is awfully close to our Jetson TK1, although considerably newer, but I'll defer to Dave if that's an incorrect statement.
Well, I haven't really compared them, you know, side by side, really, but disconnected from your channel. If I were thinking about it, I'd wait about a month, month and a half at least to buy one at this point, because the official release ones will come out in June, and you'll be able to get one that's got the eMMC memory on the module, which to me is a big advantage. Running the operating system off of a SD card is, you know, it's one of the things I like least about a lot of the Raspberry Pis and things. It's slow and it's fragile, I think. But I've just gotten these set up and running. I have read a lot of, or I read some things in there in the early days on the NVIDIA developer forums that seem to indicate from the NVIDIA people themselves that they hadn't even finished completely deciding what some of the signals, there were conflicts that they were trying to decide how to route, and that the boards that are available right now may have differences in a month or two from what ships. So I'd wait. I would that at least keep some one less thing to collect dust for a month or two.
Appreciate the insight. Yeah, it sounds a bit like a dot zero, but yeah, interesting on the SD card. The fragility on that you're seeing is because of the OS partition getting corrupted because you're writing to a an SD flash. Is the source of the unreliability?
Well, that just often was the case with the early Raspberry Pis. The SD cards are just slower, too, a lot slower than the eMMC. I don't know. I haven't really given – I got two of these Nano boards just because I hit go.
Dave, you're cutting in and out.
Oh, sorry. I got two of these boards, and they've I've just gotten them really up and running. So I can't give a full evaluation of them.
Yeah, many years ago, I worked on a internet browser tablet gizmo thingy, and it had a SD card in it, and we had fair number of reliability problems until we partitioned the OS and the stuff that's purely read-only into its own little partition, and then the read-write stuff we put in its partition, and the biggest issue we had was trying to get reliable configuration data where we'd have all sorts of problems where if you were scribbling configuration and the user turned the power off at the wrong instant, we'd have a brick that couldn't boot because it had invalid config data. So, I mean, we did a Herculean amount of stuff to make sure that no matter what happened, that you would have at least something that looked like a valid configuration where the thing would at least boot.
Well, they may have improved some of this since then, and they do. Actually, the partitioning on the SD card is pretty weird on NVIDIA's stuff. There are lots of little partitions it creates, and I don't quite know what all's going on. But I think some of them have to do with interacting with the card itself, the NVIDIA cores. But I can't remember. It's odd anyway. But they may have worked around some of the fragility, but that doesn't get you around the speed issues. So hard to say right yet. I'll learn more quickly, I think.
Yeah, no, understood that speed is a problem. But, interesting stuff, and love to find time to play.
They are interesting boards in the sense that these are just, you know, this is just a breakout board with a module that plugs into it, into a, you know, like a memory card format module. But they have, there's a lot of signals on the edge of that module, including PCI and stuff that aren't broken out on that board, that have a lot of potential for use in SDR applications, I think, beyond what's already there.
No, I see.
So I've got just a question. The release that's coming out in the future, will that have SD and eMMC or just eMMC?
It'll be both. It's just the current card has a footprint for an eMMC chip on there, but they just haven't populated it. That's on the module itself, not on the breakout board.
Okay, thanks very much. In which case, it's pretty similar to the TK1 board then.
Probably, yeah. But it, you know, it doesn't break out any PCI lanes anywhere.
So there's no PCI on that large edge connector?
There are on the large edge connector. They're there. They're in the module, apparently, but they're just not accessible on this breakout board. There are some third-party ones, though, that break out more, apparently. They must have worked with somebody, because I've seen, I looked up a couple of them early on.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Doug. So it could be interesting to look at a breakout board which is specifically for tailored to SDRs.
I think it would be fairly, you know, it would be a very interesting thing to do and a pretty logical thing to do.
Ah, there's Bernd. It's been a long time since we've seen or heard from him. Welcome, Bernd.
That's right. Yeah, Dave, the book you mentioned on Shannon actually came in for me. It's on reserve at the Austin Library.
Very good. It's a good book. I've made it through a few chapters, but I still got more to read.
You know, it's sort of funny. If I borrow a book from the library, it sort of forces me to read it because it's only got to go back at times, sometime certain.
My problem is I sit down to read a book later in the evening, and before I get a few pages, I'll fall asleep.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, I may want to read that book too, Dave, one of these times. You've told me about it, and I might need to get that information again.
It's amazing how many things in our modern world were based on the simple idea, the ideas that he published back in the 40s.
It's often the case when simplicity and clarity go together.
Another thing I saw on the list is Microwave Update will be in Dallas this year, and I guess Tom McDermott's going to do a session on GNU Radio.
Well, that ought to be good. I've seen on Scotty's listserv, Tom has been pumping out lots of information.
Go ahead, Bill.
No, I was just going to say, oh.
I spent a good bit of time this afternoon reading up on that space weather project that Tom and Scotty and everybody else are pretty involved in. And I'm very interested in some of the stuff that Scotty and Tom are doing with clocking and coherent synchronous signals. I think Tom's been looking at a chip from SI Labs that's a dejitterizer, I guess. It's a 4, I don't remember the number of the chip, but apparently it removes a lot of the jitter from clock signals, especially when they've been multiplied.
This is a clock conditioner type thing, I guess it sounds like.
I'm not sure what the proper term is for it, but it's apparently with some of the other chips, there's a lot of, you know, phase noise and stuff, and especially when you multiply signal into the microwave, but for other purposes as well. And this just seems to put out you feed a jittery signal in, and it just puts out a straight line.
Huh. I wonder how that works. I guess it could be a filtering problem if you took out all of the HF stuff and only filtered tightly around the fundamental or something. I don't know. When you initially said that, I was thinking that sounds like a something for nothing type thing, but maybe not.
I don't know. It's kind of above my pay grade there, but it looks interesting all the same.
Yeah, no, well beyond mine. That we software people should not be playing with clocks and things like that. But it's, well, I guess I would say the SI Labs people seem to know that stuff fairly well. So
I hope my cat didn't break in. He just decided to jump on my keyboard.
No cat transmissions here.
They're not happy with me sitting here not paying attention to them.
Oh, well, I'm going to take off here and go find some dinner and all. But good chatting all, good to hear from everybody, and hopefully catch y'all next week.
73.
Yep, 73, Bill, and perhaps try and catch up with you in the week sometime. 73.
Okay, yeah, 73. I'll be around usual, well, probably your lunchtime, my late evening.
User disconnected from your channel.
Well, Dave, I wanted to tell you my reading board came in, so I've got lots of reading to do, but the other one's small computer will get here tomorrow.
Well, that should keep you busy. And if you want to play with one of these NVIDIA things, you're welcome to that too. But it sounds like that's enough for your weekend.
Yeah, I think I got enough to keep me busy for a while, and you know, kind of keeping up with the house and everything before heading off to Dayton.
Yep. Did Bernd ever connect?
He never, his light never went on, so he's either just listening or doesn't have something configured exactly right, but I'm sure he's listening.
Well, I don't have much else this evening, but it's kind of good to hear, buddy. Finally get this laptop.
Yep, good to do that, and hopefully you can make your way safely back to the rest of the house. Instead of sitting in the dark.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I'm here. I just didn't have the headphones set in, and my wife is vacuuming in the background, so I didn't want to make too much noise. Hi.
Oh, very good, Bernd. Well, nice to talk to you, and please show up if you can on future sessions.
Yeah, I tried to do this. I'm getting more active now. Thinking of using my Hermes board for E&E. I sort of slowly getting the bits and pieces together. I got basically every band, except there's always a little puzzle missing to make it actually complete. It's so hard to get stuff here in Australia.
But it sounds like a fun project, interesting things to work on.
Yeah. So hopefully by end of this year, I will have 10 gigahertz running. I want to use a 3-meter Andrews dish and a home-designed amplifier using one of those Corvo FETs. Mouser has them in their catalog, and it looks like they're able to export them to Australia. I guess one would have to sign a paper. It's used for a civil purpose and not for anything else, and I guess there will be also a re-export clause in there, but it's so hard to get stuff, and it's really frustrating. One question I had actually was, how far are we now with the protocol 2, because that would help me immensely if I can stay on protocol 2. I had it loaded, but it was in the early stages where we had only received no transmit. And I think Phil was talking about having the beta testers ironing out a few humps, and just wonder when we can see some releases so we can use it here on our boards.
Well, there is current releases that were just put up within the last 2 or 3 weeks, and this one seems to be very stable. There's it's good on some of the Anon boards. The Angelia, there were a few problems. The Hermes version, I've had it for a while, and it seems very stable and clean. And so we're getting very close to actually having these would work fine for you, I believe. Phil's been working on the little 10E board, which is quite a bit of the main reason he can't get it. Well, he's got it working, but it's like 95% full, so it's very hard for him to get everything into the chip. But otherwise, it seems to work quite well, and so I would give it a try. It's on the GitHub site.
Oh, that's good to know. The GitHub, which repository in there? Is it under is it a generic protocol 2 directory or branch?
The firmware is under GitHub Tapper, and then the firmware. The there's also a Thetis for the, which is the PowerSDR for protocol 2. And so those two you'd want to get. And at least with the people testing, it seems to have gotten most of the irritating bugs out.
Yeah, okay. I just had a quick look, and I can see there's Hermes 1000T firmware. So that is 18 days old now, so that's probably it.
Yeah, it's best to use the John Melton's bootloader in the initial stages for loading the firmware. We are working on protocol 2 programmer, but in reliability, a guy named Rick has added some CRC checks on the code, so it's still a work in progress, but the old HPSDR bootloader works fine.
Yeah, okay. I will give it a try later on this afternoon or tonight and see how it goes. Be interesting to see how it performs. I hardly ever use the extended functionality like pure signal and those things. I'm pretty basic in that regard. But I thought it would be providing me a good backend for all the down converters to receive the EME signals and then hand it over to the PC for processing. It will be quite interesting to see how that all performs. I was always happy with Hermes. It performed well with the old protocol and initially with the newer protocol. I never had really an issue, but then I'm not using it to the full extent. Like I have read on the mailing list about some people complaining about latency and CW and that sort of stuff. I'm using it purely for digital modes.
Yep. And it should work fine for you. And you can always, with the bootloader, go back if you want to go back to protocol 1. So that's not a problem.
So you can change back to protocol 1 using now the same bootloader?
The old bootloader will allow you to put it back, and we were working on a way to get the programmer. The problem is the protocol 1 and protocol 2 talk back to the software in fairly different ways. And so it's basically, if you make code that does both, it's two pieces of software in one executable.
Oh yeah, I can see that. Yeah, fair enough. It just makes it more convenient. You only just have one utility around and don't forget that you have to swap to the other if you want to go backwards. But if protocol 2 works, then I can see it to be to be all what I'll probably be using. Yeah, and okay also on Phil trying to get the code working on a tiny board. I guess he's juggling bits now, like in the good old days when programs were only a few kilobytes in size. Hi.
That's correct. But he says it's a lot of work and the compile times are much longer.
Yeah. Has anyone actually used multiple NVIDIA cards or GPUs to get multiple or extend the number of receivers you can run simultaneously?
Well, the person who has done the most of that is Steve, AE0, I can't remember the last two letters of his call sign. He lives in Colorado. But his website doesn't have all the details. He had a really nice website, and then somewhere along the way, part of it disappeared. So I'm not sure what the status is.
Yeah, okay. I think it's you're thinking of A0ES, isn't it?
I thought it was AE0ES.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. We're talking about the right person, I think. Yeah, I was sort of... testing his code at one stage. He had a suite that allowed you to have multiple applications connecting to a server. That was actually running very well. Yeah, I had a look. I couldn't find it anymore. I have still some old code running around here, but I would prefer to have an updated code. I will see if it still works and if I run the other code. But we never got TX running. It was only receive, so it wouldn't be very useful for actually doing EME on any other digital modes I intend to do here. So, yeah, but Steve, that was about 1.5 years ago, I think, and we spent a few hours trying to get things working.
Yes, yes, and it was... a year or so ago before Friedrichshafen that his website seemed to go offline, and I haven't heard anything from him. If he's listening, it'd be nice to have you back in the loop.
Yeah, that's like with most things in hobbies, I guess. You get interested, get fully behind it, and after a while the novelty wears out high.
Correct.
So I heard you're getting the... NVIDIA board. I had a look. Mauser, I think it's Mauser selling it here as well for not too much of a markup. So it's quite a reasonable price in Aussie dollars. Will be interesting to see what you guys think about it. I've got still the, what's it called, Jet TX card. Forgot now the name of it. Where I have John Melton's code running on it. And that worked quite well on that particular board.
Yeah, I have that board, and then the other Dave here has both that older board and several other NVIDIA boards, so he's my expert when I need to know about it.
Yeah, I had a look on the Sevier. I think it's the top of the line from what I gathered, and that looks like a nice board to have, but the price tag is also accordingly.
Well, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was going to say I've built John Melton's code on the Xavier, and I was thinking to do it on the Nano here. The Nano's a lot – the Xavier's really overkill from as far as I can see. I haven't thought of anything that really justifies it for SDR-type applications yet.
I do have colleagues at the university that use it for image processing.
Yeah, I think NVIDIA sort of really targets artificial intelligence. That's where that would come very handy.
Yep, I think so. But I haven't heard anybody using two cards in your PC other than potentially Steve.
You're talking about Steve's early code in Protocol 2?
Yes, the receive only.
Yeah, I think that we had the code running between Phil, Steve, and myself, and we had problems getting TX working properly. I don't know how it progressed in the end, but that's probably, if it never got resolved, that's probably why Steve would have taken off the the website offline. I was busy doing other thing and got sidetracked, and then I sort of stepped back in the background, hoping we get the released version of Protocol 2 for work on EME and digital modes. And perhaps I will give it a try on HF bands as well. It's nice to have a spectral, waterfall spectrum display, and you see the signals, and you just click on it instead of tuning around high, and also running multiple receivers, so you can actually monitor multiple comms at the same time.
Well, it seems like it would be very useful for that kind of problem set. So I hope you figure out. You always are very nice at working out code. So I hope you find a good set of applications for it.
Yeah, sure. I will eventually find a way to get it all working again. Just revamped my workshop. I should not say workshop, but my ham shack. And got a small area now with all my tools and test equipment in an orderly fashion, so I have access to everything. And I'm planning to build my 10 gigahertz amplifier once I get the boards from China, and see how it goes. It's my first project doing a microwave board with Rogers materials. It's very daring when you read up on the theory, all the problems you encounter on the way with impedance matching and that. It's much easier on HF with FR4 high.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about 10 gigahertz, but Dave knows a little more than I do.
Not that much about 10. That's kind of above where I've played around, but it's sure interesting.
Yeah, when you start building your own boards, then you suddenly are faced with learning a lot of different tools. That starts from 3D modeling, so you can have a part modeled in 3D that you put on the board, down to basically simulating the circuit, tuning it, and it goes on and on and on. You spend lots of hours basically learning just to get a result at the end. But it's very rewarding, I guess. It adds to my experience, I guess. I work in the area of electronics, so it's a good thing as well.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say there's always another frontier out there somewhere.
Oh, Bernd, I just checked Steve's website, and it seems to be working again.
Okay, I haven't checked it for a long time. I actually forgot now what his website was. Can you just email it to me, or just type it in the chat box?
There it is at the bottom.
Yeah, it looks very familiar, Hi.
Yep. The link that was bad is now working.
Yeah, I will have a troll through his website and see if there's any updates. And that also will probably, I will have to read some of the docs again to see how to operate his suite of utilities. I know you had to start it in the right sequence for everything to work, but once you got the server up and running, then the resources will dictate how much you can do. And I had lots of receiver running at the same time on different bands. I used the Whisper clients to run basically on each band a Whisper client to monitor, and that worked quite well in receive.
Well, that's a good idea. Yeah, I think I would enjoy doing that as well. And anyway, Bernd, it's about time I have to go upstairs, so I'm going to say 73, and good to talk to you.
Yeah, same here. I have to go to my hairdresser. Hair grew a little bit long now, and it needs to be cut and made presentable again. Okay, thanks very much for all your effort. It was nice meeting you again here. I was a little late coming on. I forgot, actually, after we switched from summertime back to normal time, that's these sessions are earlier. So next time I will try to be here on time. Dave, have a good weekend, and look forward to meeting you again.